First person we're going to have speak this morning is Sandy.
Good morning. This is kind of new for us. We wanted to, prior to the stewardship campaign, give you a sense of the scope and the breadth of people who are involved in financial matters at the church, who are very, very sincerely interested in this. And because we're in a big transition year with the new building coming up, we wanted to provide some explanation and some direction for you. So I'm going to talk, first of all, just a little bit about the budget. And Jen is the MC as well as the timekeeper, and she's going to come over and give me a nasty look when I've gone out for too long and not leave enough time for the others. I just want to say, in general, the highest costs in the budget, there are four significant expense areas in our budget. One of them is facility costs. There's nothing we can do about facility costs. That's paying for, you know, insurance on the buildings, utilities, and so on. That's something we can't really play with. UU and interfaith costs reflect our commitment of many years ago to fair share, and that is a significant part of our budget, and Kathy Slater will be talking a bit more about why that's very important for us to continue to honor. The largest part of our budget is what we pay in personnel expenses, what we pay to our staff, and this is such a huge part of our budget, but again, an extremely necessary part of our budget. I'm not going to give details about it, but Bob Erdman and Jack Graham will be speaking about personnel expenses and our long-held commitment to fair compensation for our staff. I'm going to mention one other thing that's new to our budget, and it is about $10,000 in the FY17 proposed budget, but it's a very important $10,000. Every year when we base our budget, our final budget, is based on the amount that we get in pledge commitments, money that comes in the plate or that people contribute in non-pledged ways. We anticipate that as well as we can, but really the foundation of our budget is the pledged commitments. And this year the pledged commitments that we're asking for are a little bit over $288,000. In the past, we have never budgeted for a pledge shortfall. And what this means is that during the year, we often experience a loss in pledges because of a death, a move away from this community, a move away from the church, the loss of a job, all the kinds of situations that happen in life that get in the way of us meeting our pledge commitments. The national average for UU churches is 5%. We've consistently been 3.5 to 4%, so we're better than the average, and that's, on the one hand, the good news is that's wonderful that we're less than the average, but on the other hand, the bad news is that we always lose 3.5 to 4% of our pledge commitments by the end of the fiscal year, money that has not come in that we built into our budget. So what we're doing this year is being more proactive already, more proactive for the first time, and budgeting. We decided to budget a 3.5% shortfall. For those of us in financial leadership, we really, really want to stick to including this in the budget, because basically the last few years we've been operating at a deficit and we don't even know it because of loss. So we really want to maintain that 3.5%. We need a little over $288,000 in pledge commitments this year. This is a 16% increase over last year. It's a significant increase, but it's a necessary increase. Teresa will be explaining, in terms of your packets, how you might think about increasing your pledge commitments. This increase does not include, let me just say, I knew I probably would go on a couple minutes extra. Okay. The budget this year does not include any operating costs for our new building, which we're hoping will be open in January of the upcoming year. This means we have 6 months of operating costs. Initially, when we did the budget draft, we included a certain amount of money, approximately $10,000, to cover that. But we've had two extremely generous couples donate each $5,000 to cover those expenses. So I would applaud them. This is beyond what they pledged for the capital campaign. It's an additional amount when they learned that that this might be very, very helpful to this year's budget. But one thing to keep in mind is that next year we'll be budgeting for a full year of operating cost expenses for the new building. We're Mary Beth and I, in estimating this, are estimating about $20,000, about $1,700 a month. We're hoping to offset a great deal of this, if not all of it, through rentals. So Reverend Melissa wanted me to mention this morning when I talked, if you know of anyone who might be looking for a long-range or short-range rental for the building, professional kitchen, caterers, and so on and so on, please contact us. That could be very valuable to help us begin to generate income from rentals. Okay, I don't want to hold you up too much. Let me just say, please give generously. You'll see all of us from the stewardship campaign for the next month talking with you about that. And also, if some of you have not pledged in the past, remember, please, that pledging is how we create our budget. It's very valuable to us. It's a pledge. If something traumatic happens in your life and you can't do it, you can't do it. We're not going to come after you and we're not going to judge you, but it allows us to create a budget. If you haven't pledged in the past, please consider pledging. If you know someone who hasn't pledged in the past, man, perhaps is thinking about it, please talk with them and pledge generously. And I will stop.
Thanks so much, Sandy. Jack, we'll have you speak next from the Personnel Committee.
Well, good morning, everybody. As introduced, I'm Jack Graham, and I am the Personnel Coordinator for the congregation. And in that role, one of the things that I have been doing is to monitor the extent to which we have realized our commitment to a fair compensation for our paid staff. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat today. In 1995, the UUA adopted a fair share compensation plan and provided guidelines as to what that would involve for individual congregations. In 2003, this congregation formally committed itself to a fair share compensation plan for our staff. And over the years since 2003, some progress has been made toward reaching the expectations for a fair share compensation congregation. What I'd like to do is very briefly review what the UUA expectations are for a fair share compensation congregation. A very important one is salary. Of staff, and I'm going to come back to that at the end. Health insurance for eligible staff, we're doing fine there. Retirement contributions, we're doing fine there. Long-term disability insurance is expected. We do not do that at all. Term life insurance is expected. We don't do that at all. Dental insurance is expected, and we're not doing that at all. Professional improvement expenses, we have done pretty well with that over the years. We have included these expenses for the staff. However, from last year to this year, there was a 15% decrease in those funds for professional development simply because the money wasn't there. Sabbatical leave for staff, we're fine there. Paid vacation, we're fine there. Cost of living increase is also expected, and we haven't been doing very well there in the past couple of years. In fact, the staff has not had a cost of living increase for the past 2 years. Now, coming back to salary, this is a very important part of the expectations. And that is that we provide our paid staff with fair compensation for their contributions to the congregation. Here we have something of a mixed bag. Some staff are paid according to the UUA guidelines, and some are astonishingly below expectations from the UUA. The two positions that we have identified as being especially out of line are the minister and the congregational administrator. The expectation is that all staff would be at least at the midpoint of the guidelines for our particular region and the size of our congregation. Neither the minister nor the congressional congregational administrator are in that mid-range. They are at the low end of the minimum range. So the Board of Trustees has approved a budget for FY17 that includes increases for the minister and the congregational administrator to bring them up into the middle range level of the compensation guidelines. The other areas where we're not doing things, such as the health, life insurance and disability insurance, will not be addressed in the FY17 budget, but we would hope to be able to do something about that in future years. In closing, let me just say that there are a couple reasons that it's really important for us to provide fair compensation for our staff. One, of course, is simply to recognize the contributions that key staff members make. All of our staff put in more time than they're paid for, and they contribute in many, many ways to the success of this congregation. In addition, I think it's important to maintain staff at a fair compensation level because we want to retain staff. When we're paying staff less than some other positions they might take, there is always the danger that staff will go somewhere else. And then finally, I think a major factor to keep in mind is that of recruitment. We don't want to see turnover. We hope and we pray that we won't have turnover, but it's going to happen at some point for various reasons. And if we are really below expectations, particularly on these key positions, it's going to be very difficult to recruit. We're now in the process of recruiting for a permanent DRE person. And I think we're going to see that we will have some difficulties in getting the best qualified people at levels that we are currently.
Thank you so much, Jack. Bob, Finance Committee.
So I'll explain what the Finance Committee does, but first, a brief history. As Jack mentioned, in 2003, the congregation voted to provide fair compensation for our staff. And as Jack mentioned, we're not 100% doing all of that. We're doing a lot of that, but not all of that. And furthermore, the UUA guidelines, they issue after our budgets are set historically. So we have to use the latest information available, which is a year old. Okay, so that's not up to date, just another element of why that is not up to date. Now, the Finance Committee can't change that. That's what the congregation decided, so we have no choices in that. In 2009, both the UUA, the national organization, and the OMD, the regional organization, have an annual program fund where they say this is how much you should give based on your membership. In 2009, the congregation voted to increase our giving. We had been making the district pledge and paying that, but we had not been doing the national. And in 2009, the congregation voted to pay the recommended amount to the annual program fund for the national, ramp up to that. In 2011, we got to that number, and we've been giving that amount since. For those of you who are newer, this is not like some churches where the national gives us money to do stuff with. We give money to the national, and in return, the national has various programs that help us out, like for getting a new minister, like for planning for a capital campaign, and so forth. And then, as most of you know, in the last few months, the congregation voted to proceed with a new building, which has already been mentioned, don't come for free. And we hope to recoup some of those costs through renting it out. But it may not be all of those costs. So those three are things that the whole process, let me describe, the Finance Committee first looks at all the inputs from committees and all the expenses we know about, estimates for various things, the building and so forth, for the coming year, and we put together a draft budget, which then goes to the management team. And they look at it, well, maybe they tweak it a little bit, and then it goes to the board of directors, and maybe they tweak a little bit. And then you see it in the stewardship campaign, which the envelopes are out there for, once it's finally approved, okay? So we're the first pass, and we get info from all these places. But note that we cannot decide anything about these pre-committed things, like the fair share for salary, like the APF fund, like the building. Those are things that the congregation said, that those are fixed mandates that we don't have any choices on. And this year, as Sandy pointed out, a lot of those things stack up to be a very significant increase. And in fact, we did one of the first passes, and it said that if everybody gives the same pledge they gave last year, we cannot cover the mandates, let alone anything else. So we have to have increases in order to stay with just the mandates. Now, the mandates don't include things like buying pencils and the phone and so forth. That's not in the mandates. So the congregation has decided we want to do these lovely things, but the congregation, if it doesn't give the money to do those things, no amount of committees and decisions can compensate for that. So we're going to have to make some very difficult decisions if we don't get that. Okay.
Thank you so much, Kathy, moderator, Board of Trustees.
Good morning. I've been asked to talk about our annual, it's almost like a dues that we pay to the UUA and why that is a good idea. I know from hanging around here that when congregations get in trouble, and they think that their budget is going to fall short, one of the first things they do is they look at the annual dues that goes to the UUA and to the district. And they think, well, we're just going to have to cut it for a year. And if they do that, and we did that in our own congregational life, I can remember that when we wanted a full-time minister. Well, when you do that, it takes a very long time to get back to paying your fair share. And as a union person, that fair share model means a lot to me. So really, for this congregation right now, we're paying about $84, $83, depends on the year, a person, a member, to our both our national and our district. And that's a lot of money. It was like 200 people times 85 or so. You see, it's a big deal. It's one of those fixed costs in our budget because we voted to do that. We felt that that was important. Now, my dates and the district dates are a little different than Bob. I think sometimes our intention is great, but we didn't actually, according to the district, start paying them back at the district level until 2010, we actually achieved that, and at the national level, 2013. So it hasn't, that's from the district office. And you say, well, that's a lot of money. You know, is it really worth it? I would say yes. And listening to Melissa today talk about, as a faith, that we want to help with social justice and the spiritual aspects of our faith, one of the best ways we do that is by paying that amount of money. Because for that, we get credentialed professionals like ministers and directors of religious education. When we as a congregation were looking for a minister, when we're looking for Melissa, we didn't just, you know, put an ad in the paper. We used the UUA, and they told us, trust the process, and it was about this thick. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. This is a lot to go through. But it worked. It worked. We found a match, and we got our Reverend Melissa. When we wanted to do our capital campaign, and we decided, well, we'll look at hiring a consultant. And we looked at people within the UUA and people without, and we ended up settling on somebody from the UUA. And because we were a fair share congregation, we got a great discount on the cost of his services. And he was very helpful in getting us through that process. And I think anyone who was really involved knows that we needed him. If you have children, NRE, those curriculums that are used are UUA developed. If you, you know, today we sang the song of Standing on the Side of Love, that's, that whole office is supported through our contribution, through all the congregational contributions throughout the year. If you have a teenager who's gone through, or maybe now a young adult who's gone through the Our Whole Life sexuality curriculum, that came, that development and continuing improvement and, you know, altering of that curriculum came from the UUA. Our Beacon Press, our UU World magazine that we get, that doesn't just appear magically in your mailbox. That's because this congregation pays our APF, our annual program due to the UUA. So I know sometimes it looks like low-hanging fruit that we say, well, we could just pull back on that a little bit. But if we're doing that, we're really pulling back on our faith. And I think of people of generosity and people of hope, we need to continue to pay that.
Thank you so much, Kathy. We're going to have Teresa talk about the stewardship campaign. You should have your packets. So please let those out since we only have a couple minutes left to go.
Yeah, this will be really quick. So given everything that you've heard and given that we just went through a very extensive capital campaign, the stewardship campaign has made two major changes. If you pull out your pledge card, you'll see those changes right away, and they're also explained in more detail on the back. But the first change is that we're giving some amounts to get you thinking about what an increase in pledge would look like. So there's a couple different levels there, and it's personalized to you and what you've done in the past. The other big change is there's not going to be individual canvassing during this campaign, since there was just face-to-face canvassing during the capital campaign. So those are the two big changes that we've made.
Let me just say one more thing. Thank you for staying for the meeting. But also, if you have any additional questions or you'd like to look at a line item budget or you want to look at more specific details in terms of the figures, just contact me and I can either meet with you or I can connect you with someone that would be able to answer your questions effectively. So we welcome that at any time.